Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Do you believe that President Biden is up for the job?
President Biden's running for re-election. I expect to support him.
Ronald Reagan said, though, that he didn't leave the Democratic Party. It left him.
Most of the people police are arresting aren't dealers, but rather people with small amounts of pot.
The president didn't trade individual stocks when he was a senator.
Here are a few things to keep in mind when you're marking your ranked choice ballot.
Our leadership in the UN is as strong as it's ever been.
That's it. I'm done. I'm off from this.
I'm done. I'm out of here. Wait, it's only Wednesday. That can't happen. Hey, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Glad you joined us here this morning. Are you flying today? Are you driving to the airport right now? Maybe we shouldn't do this story if that's the situation. I don't know. I'm watching this 5G story kind of roll out. And I don't know what to think. You know what? The first thing I thought was about Y2K.
Yeah.
And much ado about nothing. Until a few minutes ago when I'm watching one of the morning newscasts, and they have an aviation industry expert on there that said, my recommendation would be not to fly anywhere on Wednesday. Wow. Like he said on the news not to fly anywhere today. Because some places are rolling out 5G coverage, and it supposedly can interfere with, I guess, the navigation system on airplanes.
Yeah, one of the examples I read was that it could like impact the plane's ability to slow down on a landing, causing it to like veer off the runway.
Now,
was an example.
They've always said
so it
not
affects
to do
brakes.
They've always said not to use cell phones on takeoffs or landings. Now, Mythbusters did a thing on whether you should have your phone on airplane mode or not. And there was only one of the half hour tests that they did in the entire show. One of them made the needle move once, and okay, they said that was enough to convince them that you should not have your plane. Are your phones on planes?
Because you don't want to be on that one plane
you
where that
don't
want to
be
wrong.
Because they said it moved it once. They didn't know how. They didn't know why. But it was enough.
So I remember covering this story when they put all of this extra bandwidth up for sale, so that the cell phone companies could bid on it and buy it, so they could expand their networks to include 5G.
That's how we lost analog TV.
How did nobody well, that was part of the reason. And the other reason was the government officials wanted some of that bandwidth for emergency purposes as well. How come we're just now finding out about this just about the time it's they're going to push the green button, the go button?
Well, it seems to be more of the story is not that it wasn't happening, but that AT&T and Verizon did say they would not turn it on in certain locations.
9 cities right now.
Yeah, within 2 miles of an airport, supposedly. Yeah. So you can have 5G unless you live within 2 miles of an airport, and then your phone will drop out of 5G as you get closer to those airports. But there are still some aircraft they're not going to allow to fly in and out of the country today. Out
Boeing
of fear
777
that this
is
might
one
impact
of them.
Them.
Yeah.
And like Japan and Dubai are not flying in.
Well, we'll know by tomorrow for sure, right? And it's remember Y2K?
Hope not.
Where were you on Y2K? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I was at, I remember specifically because it screwed up my New Year's Eve plans, right? Because I was on part of the digital team that was covering the Y2K story down at Channel 4. And normally we would have had the day off on New Year's Day from our morning newscast. Mm-hmm. But they insisted that we come in and have the newscast because they thought it was going to be worldwide havoc that morning. And then it was much ado about nothing.
Mm-hmm. I created
like nothing happened.
I created a promotion for the oldies station I used to work and pissed off the sales staff. I said, we should not do commercials for this whole week. And the sales staff did not care for
that. Oh, I'll bet they didn't like that at all.
But it was a great promotion because Casey played a week of no commercials.
Did you refer to it as an oldies station?
In case she hasn't played any new songs since the turn of the century.
Hey, I'm not old. Dan, I listen to that station sometimes.
You know how many songs they play past the year 2000, Mark?
I don't care.
6. And they're all Foo Fighters.
You know how many songs I listen to past the year 2000, Carl?
That's not true. That is not true. You love Mammoth
I
Wolfie.
Do. I do. But when did that album drop this year? So up until now, there have probably been fewer than 6.
Oh, so there's a 22-year gap that
I'm just
Mark
saying.
Cox loves.
Don't call me old, dude.
It's an oldie station. They don't play any current music.
I don't know, man. We may need to change the bump music for our next guest then. Because this is from the 70s. Go ahead. Charmaine Yosta joining us from the Heritage Foundation this morning. Charmaine, how are you doing?
Hey, good morning. Don't give up yet, Mark, because we need you, man. Gotta have you on it.
Thank you. No, hey, I appreciate that.
Listen, I didn't know about all that, the airline stuff. My husband was in charge of the Y2K rollover for Virginia. So I am actually really, that was super interesting conversation you had, because I tend to think it'll be like Y2K. But then my husband's not in charge of this 5G thing. So...
I think it's going to be the same thing as well, but they are raising a lot of alarms over it. And, you know, I was thinking after all these years, surely the airlines have figured out a way around this with the proliferation of cell phones and devices. They still demand that you turn them off when you take off. And,
yeah. My caveat was going to be that I think it'll be fine, but I'm glad I'm not going to be on a plane testing it.
Oh, yeah, there's always that. That's true. I know people that are flying today, so hopefully there are no problems. Hopefully. So let's pray for
hopefully.
That. Hey, you know, I wanted to mention, I saw earlier this week your new governor out there in Virginia, Glenn Youngkin, had his he gave his speech to Virginians and talked about what he was going to change and already set some change in motion. And then I saw the interview with Winsome Sears, who says she's not quite sure what all the blowback has been. I wanted to play that from the first African-American lieutenant governor in the state of Virginia.
Our former president, Barack Obama, said elections have consequences.
Yep.
We told the parents, we told Virginians what we wanted to do, what we were going to do, and they voted for us. These are the good consequences that they're seeing, that imagine politicians are going to fulfill those promises. We're going to do that.
Yeah, how about that? He got booed, didn't he, by the Democrats during his speech?
Oh, man. I'm telling you, she's such a boss. It's been a long time since a politician has come along that I felt like she's so authentic, so strong, and she's just fantastic. And her point is so well taken. I actually got to be in Richmond for the inauguration. And, you know, it's a great day for our Commonwealth. And to wake up and, you know, as soon as he was inaugurated, he had things ready to go and was dropping executive orders to fix a lot of things, including repealing the mask mandate for our schools. And you'll love this, Mark. I don't know if you followed this. This might not have been national news, but I think your listeners would get a chuckle out of this. So Glenn Youngkin repeals the mask mandate across Virginia. And immediately, like within an hour, my local school district came out and said that they were keeping it in place. And so there's this, that's the kind of blowback that Winsom is talking about, is that the Democrats are just coming unglued and losing their minds. And it's going to be an interesting, it's going to be interesting fight over the next couple of years.
Yeah, there's no doubt where the lines are, though, right? You can see them more clearly all the time. The Biden administration lost in court on the OSHA mandate, but encouraged businesses to do it anyway. Well, go ahead and do it anyway. And in this woke corporate culture we're in these days, you know, some of them are going to do that. In Missouri right now, Charmaine, our attorney general, Eric Schmidt, who's also running for the U.S. Senate seat here, Eric Schmidt, has not only been to the Supreme Court, he's now back here where he's won lawsuits in Missouri against mandates. And he's made it very clear to these school districts, if you continue to quarantine and segregate students for these reasons, I'm coming after you in court. And some of these left-leaning superintendents just don't care. They've maintained their policies anyway, and they're going to wait for a separate court ruling before they back off. They're just not willing to back off.
You know, it's just so fascinating because you and I have talked about this before. This is the party of science, allegedly, right? There's no justification for the way they're behaving. And so the only thing I can think of why they continue to just dig in like this is they just don't want to admit they were wrong. And which is sad to me, when it seems to me that this, when we're talking about the good of our kids and what's best for them, changing, whether you're Republican or Democrat, as this thing unfolds in front of us and we see what the best move is, that everybody should be big enough to admit that when a decision wasn't the right one.
Well, you know, on to the issue of schools again. We covered this extensively when it happened here in one of our big school districts, one of the biggest ones, actually, locally, the Rockwood School District. Is that after the letter came out and the DOJ suggested that the FBI should get involved in local school board meetings where parents were voicing their opinion, one of our local superintendents went so far as to post the message up on the school district website with the 800 number to the FBI if you wanted to rat on a fellow parent who you felt was too vocal in their opposition to the school district's policies. Now we find out nationally that Miguel Cardona, the education secretary, encouraged the school board association to send that email to the president, to the White House, and eventually to the Department of Justice to begin with. And a lot of Republicans are now demanding the guy leave, right?
Right. No, exactly. Asking for there to be an investigation / some kind of Hill hearings on this, because, you know, of course, Cardona is doubling down and denying that he ever did it. But there's some pretty clear evidence indicating that he did. And so, you know, they need to find out exactly what the truth is. It's kind of, you know, it doesn't pass the smell test in terms of, it's a classic inside outside kind of political play, right? But it's the kind of, that's not the kind of thing that you should be doing as the Secretary of Education.
No,
it's very, very troubling, and I'm concerned that it ends up being one of those, you know, 24-hour, 48-hour news stories that just kind of get swept under the rug. But the idea that the Secretary of Education would be colluding with an outside group to brand parents as terrorists is really, really troubling. And but, you know, one more thing, I don't know if you saw on Twitter yesterday, Mark, there was the Democrats of, I want to say, Wisconsin, the Democratic Party, was doubling down and digging in on this whole idea that parents shouldn't be in charge of education. And I think this is fascinating, going to the point you were making earlier about elections have consequences. They don't seem to be understanding what happened in Virginia and what is happening nationwide in terms of parents being upset about what's happening in the schools.
I agree. I may be wrong. I think it was the Michigan Democratic Party that sent that tweet out, and then they
Michigan.
Yeah, then they deleted it very quickly. But of course, nothing is temporary on the internet. Somebody had a screen freeze of it and hung on to it and then reposted it. They basically said, "You're not a." Where did this come? Where did this idea come from that parents are stakeholders in their children's education? Society needs to teach the kids what they need to know, and what the parents think is irrelevant. And they basically doubled down on the issue that got Winsome Sears and Glenn Youngkin elected in Virginia. And what they're doing is adding to this red wave that's rolling through America for 2022.
It's going to be something. It really is. Even Democrats at this point are starting to panic. Fascinating. Politico's reporting this morning. They went around and apparently the president's doing a presser around 4:30 this afternoon. And so they were asking some of the White House people, reporters who cover the White House, what kind of questions did they want to have asked? And April Ryan was saying that, who's one of the White House reporters, longtime famous journalist. She was saying that part of the reason that the president's numbers are so far underwater, we're talking in the 30% range, right, is because he hasn't delivered on his campaign promises. What isn't that one a chuckle?
Yeah,
the absolute disconnect with reality is fascinating to me.
The biggest campaign promise he hasn't followed through on is the one where he said he was going to unify people, because instead every action he's taken has served to further divide this country, and that's a shame. Hey, we're talking to Charmaine Yost from the Heritage Foundation, who joins us every Wednesday, and we appreciate having her on here. This last story I want to get to here was a story out of La Quinta, California, where the high school teacher told their students, her white students, that they are inherently privileged if they're male, cisgender, white, and Christian, The district finally stepped in and said, well, that's not reflective of our curriculum, and that the teacher was out of bounds. But how did that even exist within the district without them knowing about it, is my question.
Well, let's be sure that your listeners know the one detail that was buried in the story that both you and I saw is that they made sure, whoever the teacher was, they made sure that the students' phones were banned from the classroom before they launched into this.
Yes.
So, you know, they're kind of getting hip to the idea that some student's going to pull out their phone and make sure that they've got it on tape. But, yeah, this is another instance of you need to know what's going on in the classrooms, and having and they'll sit there and deny all day long that there's no quote unquote critical race theory going on, and then they'll turn around and do something like this. Exactly. You know, Heritage Foundation has been reporting there's something like or I believe it was Azra Normani, a journalist, that there's something like 300 cases of different contracts being given out there across the country for critical race projects. And that's probably a low number. I believe that's just a starting point. So, you know, parents have really, unfortunately, got to be really, really savvy on this and really questioning, getting involved in their school boards and questioning what's going on in their own schools and not accepting this idea that, oh, no, we're not doing that. But, you know, the definitions of what, quote unquote, we're doing really does matter.
Yeah, that's very true. Charmaine Yost, my guest. Charmaine, you know, I really hope that the March on Washington, which takes place Friday, is the last year that we need one of those. But I'm just wondering, from your perspective there, closer to the Beltway in D.C., what how's this being reported on there? Are they expecting a big crowd? Have you heard anything about it? Are the COVID restrictions causing maybe the crowd to be lower this year or less enthusiasm? What are you expecting?
You know, I think the crowds are going to be really enthusiastic because this is such a pivotal year with the Dobbs case pending in front of the Supreme Court. One thing I would say, Mark, is that while I agree with you that, you know, we're all hoping and praying for a real sea change on abortion in this country, is I think we're still going to need a march because this is an entrenched ideology. I think that if we get a good decision from the Supreme Court in June, the pro-life movement is going to have to be ready to really keep digging in to fight for the hearts and minds of the American people on this issue, because there will be a counterpunch, and there will be, you know, the people who are so committed to abortion rights are not going to just go gently into that good night.
Not at
so
all.
I think we're going to have to be ready to really keep pressing in to see real change long term.
Charmaine Yost, thank you as always. We will talk next week.
Great to be with you.
You bet. Heritage.org, great to get Charmaine on here. I do appreciate that. Coming up, John Hancock and I will kick around this ranked choice voting idea. I think it's a bad idea. He thinks it's a good idea. We'll let you decide. How about that? It's coming up on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here are a few things to keep in mind when you're marking your ranked choice ballot. If you vote for more than one candidate in a single ranking, your vote won't count, since we won't be able to tell which candidate you really want. If you decide to skip a ranking, your choice will be bumped up to the previous ranking. In this example, the skipped ranking will be ignored and Spider-Man will be counted as your second choice. If you decide to skip two or more rankings, though, we'll only count the votes before the double skipped rankings. If you only want to vote for one candidate, you can do so. If you choose the same candidate in multiple rankings, only your first choice vote will be counted and will carry forward into subsequent rounds. So this is the same as a single first choice vote.
Well, that's clear as mud.
I'm very confused.
Our friend John Hancock is in the studio with us right now, and we're talking about ranked choice voting. That audio clip you listened to is the little cartoon explainer on the and the state of Maine website explaining how ranked choice voting works. And John Hancock, my first question to you would be, with the dispute today that people aren't smart enough to go get a driver's license to show it to vote, how in the hell are they ever going to maneuver through that?
Well, I think people are capable of figuring things out, and it's not difficult. The way this thing would work, you go to the primary in August, and every candidate's on the ballot. So if I like a Democrat for state treasurer, I can vote for him in the primary. Now I have to take one ballot or the other. So you vote for one candidate in the primary. Party labels will be on there. So I go in. I like.
But they don't have to be. A candidate could choose not to put their party label on there.
I guess they could. Okay. But then they'd have to qualify as an independent, and that's a whole other process.
So they still have to qualify in a primary.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
For their party.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
To be in the primary.
To be in the primary, all you got to do is pay your filing fee to the party. That's the way it works now. So. The only difference in this would be is that you don't have to declare when you walk in, I want a Democrat ballot or a Republican ballot. All of those candidates will be on there. And you vote for the one candidate you prefer. And then the top four. So right now, when we go to vote in November, the choices are made for us in August, right? And you've got a Democrat and a Republican, maybe a Libertarian, and that's it. That's your choice. This plan gives the top four vote getters in August, puts them on the ballot in November. You've got a real choice now. And then you vote. There's my first choice. Here's my second choice. And if you want to go to your third choice, you can. So if there's two Republicans on the ballot, there's one I like better. I'm voting for them one, and I'm voting for the other one two. And that's the way it works. And you've got more choices that way. And the voters ultimately are going to decide if they want this system when it goes, we're going to put it on the ballot.
This seems like a Democrat's dream. You can vote as many times as you want, right? Ultimately, but some votes don't count in the final vote.
Well, that's not
because of ballot exhaustion. I've looked into this a little bit.
Yeah.
They've even had problems in the state of Maine where they were the first ones in the country to try this.
Yeah.
Where the winner didn't win. The top vote getter in the original round didn't end up winning.
Sure.
Because the people that were at the bottom. So this is confusing, but if you're the last person in line, you get dropped off the ballot, and any votes that you got, like for second, third, fourth choice, then get added back into the other candidates.
Yeah. So let's use a real life example. Let's go back to the 2016 governor's primary in Missouri. Under this system, Eric Greitens, John Bruner, Peter Kinder, and Chris Koster would have all been on the ballot. And so if your first choice was Greitens, your second choice was Bruner, your third choice was Kinder, Koster had more votes in the primary than Greitens did. So he was the top vote getter, but he would not win a statewide election under that scenario because the Republican vote would coalesce behind the top vote getting Republican candidate. That's the way the system works. But you would have more choices under this system. And I don't think there's anything wrong with giving voters more choices.
But how do you get around the argument that it's not disenfranchising people?
Because
of ballot. No, it disenfranchises people because of ballot exhaustion.
No.
Because ultimately, your vote might not even count in the final tally for the person that won.
Of course,
if you didn't vote at all for the person that won,
yeah.
But you voted for the person that was last, and then your second choice ended up being for the person that ended up coming in second or third, your vote might not end up. Your vote might be completely erased by this system.
Well, I've voted for plenty of people that have lost over the years. I mean, yeah, so. You know, this is designed to give the voter greater options. Think about this, Mark. You go to the primary and Cori Bush against Lacey Clay, right? She runs to the far left extreme position. She beats him in the primary. November, there's no choice.
Yeah, but under this system, you can't compare the city of St. Louis to that.
It's a congressional race. It, under this system, Lacey Clay and Cori Bush would have both been on the ballot in November. Who do you think wins that race? Now, you know, Lacey Clay, to me, has never looked better after 2 years of Cori Bush voting to defund the Pentagon and voting against her own jobs in her own district at Boeing. Lacey Clay is whatever he may have been. He didn't vote against Boeing. It's more choices for voters. It's really that simple. And
so, I know you love your St. Louis Cardinals, John.
I do.
I've heard you talk about it on the radio. Let's just take this to a sports analogy for a minute. Let's assume that the Cardinals win. They have the most wins in the division to go to the playoffs in any given season, and the Cubs finish last. So the Cubs get taken off the chart, off the board, but they decide to give their runs to the Brewers, who end up winning the division because they get more wins than the Cardinals because they adopted some from the Cubs. That's my problem with it. Why would you want to change the system that we have, where the Republicans have a primary, they pick their candidate, the Democrats have a primary, they pick their candidate, somebody wants to run as an independent, they're free to do that, or the Green Party or Libertarian Party, and they're all on the ballot in November, and then those are the candidates we choose from, and the one that gets the most votes wins. What's wrong with that?
Because it's not producing enough choices for voters.
It's not producing the candidate you want to win.
Well, look, we nominated in 2018... to run against, who's the auditor? What's her name? Ran for governor, Nicole Galloway.
Galloway.
So we nominated a woman named Sandra McDowell. She raised no money, really couldn't put money together. She was the only female in a four-candidate primary field. Others were better funded in that field. She, at the end of the day, had no choice. In 1998, we, Republicans, nominated Al Hansen for state auditor against Claire McCaskill. Think about this. Al Hansen, we had a candidate. His name was Chuck Pierce. He worked in the auditor's office. He was a CPA, good guy. Al Hansen was a convicted bank felon. And he was on the ballot, and he got nominated as the Republican candidate for state auditor in November. My choice was Claire McCaskill, who is not my cup of tea, or Al Hansen, a convicted felon. Under this system, Chuck Pierce would have been on that November ballot. I, as a Republican, would be enfranchised to have a choice like that.
So,
and this is all about giving voters more and better choices.
I don't know. It sounds to me a lot like I'm a Democrat in the Senate right now, and I don't like the rules, so I want to change them. I don't like the outcome of the filibuster, so we're just going to change the rules.
Well,
I don't know why you don't like the outcome of an election, and you picked a couple of examples there. You brought up the Todd Akin election to me the other day. I think those are outliers. Generally speaking, I think the system we have works pretty well. But before I run out of time, John Hancock, this is called Better Elections?
It is.
Sounds a lot like Better Together. I just have to tell you that. Carl, do you have my Better Together drop there? Do you still see that in the system?
I have Better Together theme.
I think you got to play that for the people because it's been too long since they've heard this.
It's the no merger minute.
Yeah, the no merger minute. Let's play it because it's been too long. Hold on. Is it not working?
This is your no merger minute.
That's sick. Those are corrupt bastards, Chris.
You need to get your head out of your butt, focus on the real issues.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
How about new?
One of Tricia Siegman's finest pieces of work there, I'll have to say. John, you were in favor of that too, weren't you?
Yeah, sort of. let me just say one last thing here. I believe that elections are fundamentally the job of state governments. They shouldn't be federalized. That's what the Democrats are trying to do in Washington right now. States ought to govern their own elections. This is going to empower Missouri voters to choose if they want this system or not. I see nothing wrong with that. And they've used ranked choice voting for over 100 years in Ireland, a very healthy democracy over there. I think it provides voters more choices, but ultimately it'll be up to them.
So who's paying for it? Because you and I had this discussion the other day. I talked to Dave Rowland. I find out that some group out of Virginia called Article 4, who I can find no information out on, has donated almost all of the $2.5 million in the coffer so far for this campaign. Why would you support a campaign where you have no idea where the money's coming
from? Well, I've met a couple of the donors. They're business people from all over the country. And it's not George Soros. George Soros spends his money in states that are liberal states, and he goes to Democrat primaries and elects the most socialist candidate he can in a safe Democrat's district. That's where George Soros's money goes. These are business people that think our election system is not ideal, could be improved, and that voters need more choices. And we're going to raise money in Missouri. We're just starting the campaign. We've met with some business leaders in the state. They like the idea. So we're going to have Missouri money for this.
John, I have to ask this question because you're a friend of mine.
Yeah.
So it's not a mean question. Are you getting paid to support this?
Of course, it's a client. But I mean, I support the idea. I'm not up here like making stuff up. I genuinely support this idea.
Okay.
It's my business. I was looking at other options like the runoff where you have an election, a jungle primary with a runoff. I think this is better because you have four choices instead of two if you're a voter. And I think voters are going to appreciate that.
I think it destroys the playing field. But we will agree to disagree on that. John Hancock, thank you for coming in
and
having the debate. I appreciate it.
Always happy to do it.
Absolutely. All right. 314-241-9797. We will get to your phone calls coming up. What say you? Next hour, I've got Stacy on the right is going to join us at about 8:35. We'll be right back.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
All right, let's get to the phones. Jill on line one. Jill, good morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Well, I think that if it can't be explained in a few sentences so that the average voter or new voter or elderly person can understand it, then it's too complicated. It's too confusing, and I think it's meant to be confusing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the common core of voting. A friend of mine, Lisa, texted me a minute ago and said it's the common core of voting. There's just no reason for it.
It reminded me of algebra class. When you take your first algebra class and you go, oh, my gosh, what am I looking at? There's parentheses. There's a minus. There's a plus. And it's just, I don't think it's going to be good for the average voter. And I loved your baseball in that.
Yeah, well,
that somehow it's not fair. And, you know, it's hard to explain why it doesn't feel fair. It doesn't feel right.
With you completely, Jill. Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in. Let me get to Tim on line three. Tim, good morning.
Hey, good morning. As I was saying, you hit the nail on the head about whether John Hancock was getting paid to do this. I think it's a money grab by the political consultant class. There's more candidates in both the primary and the general, so there's more advertising dollars, et cetera. I think it's the angle that employs them more.
Yeah, I don't know what would drive business owners to support it. You know, that was John said that these are big business owners that think this is a good idea. I'm not sure I'm ready to turn my elections over to them like that, Tim. I appreciate the phone call. Charles on line four. Charles, good morning.
Yeah, I believe in Georgia they have ranked choice voting, and then November 2020 on Election Day, David Perdue got 49.7% of the vote, didn't get 50%, so they had a runoff. That turned the Senate over to the Democrats ultimately, and I think Republicans might have won both Senate seats on November Election Day.
Yeah, it's a good point. I do remember that they didn't hit, nobody got 50% in that race. I think it is targeted for one reason, to keep conservatives from being elected in the primaries, because in a state like Missouri, they then become the next U.S. senator or more likely to get elected to the House of Representatives. This is a way around that. You can soften up the middle and let the establishment candidate win, and there'll still be tons of money spent on these elections, which keeps, you know, consultants happy. All right. That's where I stand on it. We'll continue this conversation because this thing's going to be on the ballot, and I'll continue educating voters on it. I promise you that. Coming up, Jane Duker's going to join us for the bottom line, and Stacy on the right at 8:35.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.